Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of all the praise, you are worthy of all the glory and honor, Lord Jesus. Rango go de jade grede kiri, soko go de mandi abayaga de, rago go ze de, jaga gada mangi adi, reko ze de, yeke ke de mendi asako go de bayadi, rago go ze de ke, mengi ke de bayada, ya soko go de, razo do go ze de mengi de ada, raga gada bayado, rozo go ze de mengi ke, oko ya seke de ke re, reko je ke ke de adi amangi ke de, Oh, Rafaya Giamandia Zoko Kodebe, Rezo Deja de Adamange Gedebe, Yeko Yosoko Kodemengre Gede Agadaba, Yako Zoko Kodemengre Gedeba, Yazoko Dokore, Rataya Diako Soto Puja da Gayaba, Yagigi Gedebe Adi, Resoko Uja de Mengre Gedebe,
and you are the body.
Yes, Red, Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Akaya sate mengi gideada. Rago guzede. Jaga gadamandi. Yeke yasoko kode beade. Razogo jade mengi gideada. Raka gadabayade. Soto kuya jade bayade. Reko guzede. Yamanga gadiaba. Rako jade gidegede. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Can you all hear me?
Amen.
Wonderful.
Yes, we can hear you. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Okay, welcome to our Bible study today. My understanding that Sister Samantha is unable to conduct today's Bible study, so I will help you out, and you will help me out as we do our Bible study today. So I will just start with a recap from what we did last week. I'll ask perhaps Pastor G. Can you just give us an opening prayer before we delve into this?
Hallelujah, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this moment and for this gathering tonight. We thank you, mighty God, for your grace and for your wisdom. Father, we pray that you open our hearts unto your wisdom, that you open the ears of our understanding, that we may hear the wisdom you have proposed for us in your word, and the wisdom that you have proposed for us in this day to grow in the knowledge and understanding for Jesus Christ. Father, may we not miss any wisdom. May we not miss any insight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor G.
Thank you.
Again, I welcome you all to our Bible study. This is our second last Bible study for this month. Right, I'll ask Mrs. Chinyani to just give us a recap on what we did last week. I was here for like the last part of it, but I was listening and it was fire from from my point of view. So I just want a short recap, your key takeaways from Mrs. Chinyani, then we'll move over to Delsha, then Mr. Kwidine, in that order. Amen.
And good evening, everyone. So last week, we spoke about the fact that the Holy Spirit has an intellect. Mm-hmm. And we discussed what that meant, but what my takeaway was when we were responding to one of Pastor Ruth's question, which had to do with whether or not our own intellect can sometimes clash with that of the Holy Spirit. And I remember us having a very deep conversation on that, discussion on that. And, you know, it being brought to light that indeed sometimes we can go against, you know, the superior intellect of the Holy Spirit, his knowledge and his understanding is far greater than what we can imagine, or far greater than, you know, what the word that we use from the scriptures was that it's infinite. So sometimes as ourselves in situations, and there was an example there from Sarah in the Bible, who used their own human intellect to try and dispute what the Holy Spirit, what God had said, and that resulted in negative consequences. So not only did we reach the conclusion that it does happen that sometimes us as humans, we want to use our own intellect disregarding that of God, which is far superior to ours. But when we do that, it has negative consequences that happen because of that. So it's always important to rely on the superior intellect of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's so powerful. That's so powerful. Joshua?
What I got mainly is the fact that the Holy Spirit has an intellect, is part of, I guess that's like the headline of the discussion, the fact that the Holy Spirit does have an intellect, and that it's not just there for decoration, so to speak. It's there to help us in our lives. It's there to assist us even in ways that we wouldn't imagine. And all the examples that were given to say, the Holy Spirit has helped me write an exam and pass. The Holy Spirit has helped me write a CV. So I guess one of the takeaways is that for us to know that the Holy Spirit has an intellect, it's something that does benefit us in our day-to-day lives, not just for the for the spiritual things where we think, well, I am praying, so the Holy Spirit needs to, you know, to reveal to me this and that. But the fact that even in your life, making the decisions, small, big, the intellect of the Holy Spirit does come in, and it's something that you can rely on even when your own capacity can't necessarily handle the decisions that you have to make. You can rely on the fact that you actually have the Holy Spirit, and he can help you with making those decisions and just living your day-to-day life, that intellect does come in handy because it's generally superior to your own. So he can see things that you can see. He can foresee things that are about to come. And all these things, I think that was my major takeaway, to say that quality of the Holy Spirit, him having an intellect, does benefit me daily. So, yeah, that's my takeaway.
Amen. Mr. Kudene.
Yes, Mr. Barnabas.
Yes, what was your key takeaway from last week? We have heard people saying that, the Holy Spirit is boundless intellect. You know, he knows what's to come. And that, we should capitalize on having the Holy Spirit in our lives because he guides us into, what is good for us. As Joshua was speaking here, I just remember that verse where it says, "My people perish for their lack of knowledge." So us lacking in the knowledge of what the Holy Spirit can do for us, it can actually, lead to our destruction as well. And I'm sorry for cutting you, Mr. Kudene. Continue.
Okay, I was going to say there are some very key points that were raised. And I remember we looked at 1 Corinthians 3:19, the verse that I posted, which said that the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, "He taketh the wise in their craftiness," or "He catches the wise in their craftiness," or "He catches the wise in their cleverness." But so what we think in the world is being clever or being wise, mm-hmm. to God is not wisdom. When we think we're too clever and becoming too clever than God, that's when he catches us and we see that we are nobody. So we saw that the intellect of God is infinite, where we think, yeah, now we've done it now. We've outdone God. Perhaps that's where he stuck. That scripture, that scripture is so powerful that he catches you in your craftiness. When you think now this is the craft now. And as a Zeraman, that's where God catches you. So we managed to demystify that the Holy Spirit is intellect is infinite. We can never comprehend it. And even the scripture also says in I think 1 Corinthians 2 that the Holy Spirit helps us to know the mind of God and to demystify even the deep things of God. So even the things that do not only concern to this world, but that concern God or the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven or any other supernatural dimensions that relate to God, the Holy Spirit helps us understand these things. Since he is the mind of God. So the Holy Spirit's intellect is beyond human understanding because we are only limited to the environment that we have been raised or the environment that that has nurtured us or to this nature which has nurtured us. So our mind is limited. Yet the mind of the Holy Spirit is both in the world or in the earth and also in the heaven. And he is the creator of all things. So imagine the person that created all things and you want to start to think that you are more clever than the creator. So the mind of God is just so infinite that if you start thinking about it, it's so mind bubbling. Wow. That's one of the key takeaways. And there was a key question. There was a very good question that Sister Samantha raised. That, so how do you differentiate between
your own understanding?
Yes, your own understanding and God's will or something along those lines. And we went on to discuss quite a lot of things that you hear that inside voice that tells you that this is the right thing to do, but many times we tend to oppose and later on say, but I should have done this because something told me. So the Holy Spirit foresees things but we always go against that still voice, thinking it's just something that is not
God, or it's just a feeling or something. Yet it's actually the Holy Spirit speaking to us, because He knows all things. He's been in the future and He's been in the past. So before you get into your future, He already knows where you are going. So whatever that you want to do, if you are a prayerful person, I remember she even gave an example, said something was just telling me in the, while I was in the taxi, to pray in tongues. But I said, no, I can't pray in tongues. I can't remember whether it was Sister Samantha or Sister Deosha. I can't pray in tongues. There's too many people here. I can't pray in tongues. There's too many people here. Until she realized that she had to pray in tongues because something was going to happen. So, you see, the Holy Spirit sees things before we even eat. But we tend to turn a deaf ear to that still voice. Yeah, I'm just going to end here. Otherwise, we're going to have another session here.
that's all right. Amen to that. I remember some time ago when I was still in high school, when I remember this biology teacher of ours, he was just telling us that you know, the human intelligence, or like how intelligent someone is determined by the environment that they grow in. So just thinking about that means that if we want to have the wisdom of God, we have to be well acquainted with the Spirit of God. We need to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit so that, you know, we can be aligned with the intellect of God. We can match up to that level. So that's just a takeaway from my end. So today, I don't know if anyone has something to add. I left out Pastor G, Apostle Michael, and Pastor Ruth. I don't know if you want to chip in with any takeaways that you had last week.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, most of the things we said already. Mm-hmm. But one of the most important things that I got to understand before my network betrayed me was how the Holy Spirit nourishes us with endless wisdom.
Powerful.
And always gives us an insight, gives us insight on the important and crucial aspects of life that we ought to focus on. So that was just one of the key takeaways that I got from last week.
Mm. Powerful. Thank you. Powerful. Apostle Michael, Pastor Ruth, anything from you? Okay. I'll take that silence as nothing for now. So today we are talking about, we're on part 5, where we say the Holy Spirit can pray. I just want to pose a question to Mrs. Raita. Is she, I hope she's around. What is praying by your own understanding? What do you understand by the word prayer or praying? Welcome to the Makassis. Mrs. Raita, is she available?
Hello, yes. Good evening, hello, everyone. Prayer is it's a way of communicating with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello.
Amen. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you, Mrs. Wright.
Yes, I'm done. It was quiet, so I thought maybe you were not hearing what I was saying. I'm done.
Oh, Oh, I was speaking and I was on mute. I was saying, what about you, Mrs. McCarthy? What's your understanding of prayer? What does it mean to you when you say you are praying? What are you actually doing?
Amen. Hello, Bana. Are you talking to me?
Yebo. Yes, I'm talking to you, Mrs. McCarthy.
I just joined, so can you please read the question? Yes.
Okay. We've just started. So I'm asking about prayer. What do you understand by prayer? What does it mean when you are praying? Or what does that entail? What is it about?
Okay, so for me, what I understand about prayer is communicating with God. So when I'm in prayer personally, it's I'm fellowshipping with God, and also I'm talking to Him, telling Him maybe what I need, also telling Him how much maybe worshiping Him, telling Him how much I love Him. So it's just like communicating with God. Thank you.
Powerful. Okay, so in a nutshell, prayer is a way of communicating, fellowshipping with God. It says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in us according to the will of God concerning the matter in which we are praying for. We see another word here introduced, interceding. Can I ask Pastor Ruth to give us the understanding of interceding? What is interceding? What does it mean when we're talking about interceding, intercessing?
Interceding is to pray on behalf of another.
Interceding is praying on behalf of another. Okay. So, in other words, we're saying that the Holy Spirit communicates to God on our behalf. Right? Right. Okay. I'll read this scripture here from the book of Romans 8, from verse 26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. I'll just pause the question here. Pastor G, what do you understand by these two verses here that that I've read here? What does it tell you about the Holy Spirit?
Can you please go again?
Okay.
Renee was shouting here.
Oh, she's preaching. So from the book of Romans 8, verse 26-27. After you, Pastor G, I'll ask Mrs. Quidini to also give us the insights of a takeaway from this scripture. Then we'll attempt Mr. Quidini's question afterwards. So it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. So I'm asking, what does that mean to you? What do you take away from this scripture? Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, Brother Barnabas, that's quite an interesting question. From this portion of scripture,
I get to understand different kind of things. The first thing that I get to understand is the help we receive in our weaknesses. In other words, there are moments whereby one might be weary, or there are moments whereby one might be stressed and doesn't know what to say before the Lord. From deep within, they might be confused, or from deep within, they know that the situation that they are in is critical. And though they might not be able to express the things that they want in words, the Holy Spirit is able to give a detailed intercession or a detailed interpretation of the needs that you need attended to. That's number one. And then number two, the Holy Spirit expresses, gives a better expression of the things that we need to be addressed. He gives a better expression. What we think we is the right solution to a particular problem. The way we might interpret it in the words that we have might be just a surface of the things that are happening in the spiritual realm. But now the Holy Spirit understands the right activities that are taking place. So he gives the right interpretation that of the situation that is happening, so that our prayer is adequately addressed. I think that those are the two main aspects that I get to understand.
Powerful. I see that Mrs. Kwidini is typing. Okay, Mrs. Chinyani, what's your takeaway from this scripture?
Amen.
Amen.
Can I just agree with Pastor?
Oh, he has covered everything.
I can drop up what Pastor G has said, otherwise it would just be sufficient.
Okay. We have a comment here from Mrs. Kwidini. Let me just try and put it up on the screen and read it out loud. Okay. All right. So she said, her takeaway is that God knows our limitations and frustrations, but the Holy Spirit helps us by interceding on behalf of us in accordance to God's will. Okay. That's powerful. Which brings about the question that Mr. Kwidini asked. What is this will of God? I'll pose the question to the floor. What is the will of God? Pastor Ruth, your mic is on. Can you attempt? Yes.
No, I don't. I didn't want to attempt this question, but I'll attempt it. I just wanted to add on what Pastor Ruth said, just to highlight what I'm seeing from that scripture. Just to maybe kind of clarify, because when we say that he intercedes or he prays on our behalf, maybe we might get the idea that then we don't have to do anything, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that is doing the praying, but I believe that he does this intercessory ministry for me, but through me. I don't know, maybe if that kind of makes sense, that he does not pray like by himself, but it will be done through me. Or maybe, but most likely, yes, usually it will have to be done through the particular person. So maybe sometimes you can get to a place where you have been praying and you words are not coming out, but there is that maybe groaning sounds, sobbing sounds. Or if we look at the word of God, we see the example of Hannah, where she was there, she was so much in deep anguish, in a place where she wasn't sure what was happening, but at that time, this just was her lips moving, whether it was murmuring, it was more of she was in a groaning state. So I believe maybe that is the kind of a place one will be when the Holy Spirit is doing this intercessory ministry on behalf of me, but using me as the vessel that is interceding as well. So I don't know, maybe if we get that, I just wanted to just put that there. That's what I'm seeing from the scripture, so that we do not get to say, oh, are you praying? No, I'm not, because the Holy Spirit is
interceding. The Spirit is doing it for me.
Yeah, it's just to say that. All right.
Amen.
And then just to go to the question that Mr. Kidini has asked, that what is the will of God. This I'll just answer and simply say that his word is his will expressed to us as believers. So through the word, I believe that is how we know God's plan and purpose and the pattern and the direction that he has put for us and set for us, that we should be able to follow and to serve him in accordance to what he has called us to. So I think that is the will of God. And when the Holy Spirit does make groanings, then we say that the ambit is the word of God. So there is no way that he would go off of what the word of God says, because for me, I believe that the word of God is his will expressed to us. Amen.
Powerful, powerful. I see Mrs. Chinyani's hand is up. Go for it.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas. So I just want to again agree with Pastor Ruth there, when she said that the word of God is his will. So when we look at the word will, it's an expression of one's desire. I'll give an example. When a person dies and they say this person left in their will, the person who comes to read out the will reads out the instructions that the person left, that I had a house and a car and this, I want when I'm gone, I want you to give my house to so and so, and I want so and so to do this and to do that and to do that. So it's an expression of what the person, like what Pastor would say, it's an expression of the person's desire to say, this is what I want people to do. So if we look at that example and we just liken it to maybe draw parallels with the word of God, we'll see that God's word is an expression of what his desire is for us. That's his plan, his purpose, his idea, his mind, and it's there for us to follow. It really captures everything in essence about life and all that pertains to it. And that's what we should be following. We've already been given a manuscript to life. You might have it like that. Amen.
Powerful. Now, there's a comment here from Mr. Quidini on what Pastor Ruth just said, saying one cannot stay quiet and say the Holy Spirit is sorting out prayer for me. You have to be prayerful, and the Holy Spirit uses you as a conduit of prayer. That is very, very powerful. That is so powerful. Apostle Michael, Do you have anything to add when it comes to the question that was posed by Mr. Kwedeni? What is the will of God?
Amen.
Amen.
Right. What is the will of God?
Yes, yes.
All right. Let's, if maybe you can put Romans chapter 12.
Okay.
Let's start from verse 1 to... All right. Let's just leave this one there.
Okay.
It says that, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Okay, let's go to 3.
Okay.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good. Yes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So, verse 2 there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just open my Bible. Sorry.
Okay.
Just give me a moment.
Problem.
Right. Verse 2 right there. It shows us how we can prove what the will of God is. Right, verse 1 and 2. He said there, do not be conformed to this world. Other versions of the Bible says to the pattern of this world. So it means there's a type of mentality that this world has that is not the same as the will of God. That is not the same as the plan of God. So it says, but be ye transformed. I like the Passion Translation. It says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through total reformation of how you think. And this total reformation or the transformation of the mind comes from the Word of God. So if you want to know what the will of God is, stop imitating the world and, you know, spend time in God's Word. When you spend time in God's Word, then the Holy Spirit will inwardly transform you in the way that you think. And He will empower you to discern God's will as you live your life here on earth. So it's that transformation that happens by the Word through the Holy Spirit bringing revelation that enables you now to discern what the will of God is in your life. So for example, this sounds a little bit generic to say the word of God, but for example, somebody comes to you and gives you a prophetic word and says God is saying A, B, C, D, and E to you. You can judge that, you can have that discernment to know whether this is God's will. Because one of the key issues that we are having, particularly in this generation, is that I can prophesy to you, Brother Barnabas, and tell you that God wants you to go to Hurungwe and stay in Hurungwe, the raw areas, and just stay there. God will visit you there. And you pack your bags, boom, you're in Urungu and you are suffering right there. And you are saying, oh, this is the will of God. So we have to put scripture, number one, which gives us the ability to discern whether this is of God or this is not of God. Right? Number two, also, how do we know if it is the will of God? There are things that God has already said in His scripture that determines what His will is. For example, the Bible tells us, in the book of Jeremiah, that for I know the plans that I have for you, plans not to harm you, but plans to prosper you. So if I come with a prophetic word to say, Brother Barnabas, God said, eat a sword and stab yourself 20 times, for He shall raise you from the dead. why would God inflict harm on you in the first place? Why would God inflict? You know, why would God inflict harm on you? So how do you get to know the will of God? You judge by the Word. You judge everything around you, every prophetic word, by the Word of God. And also, let me just put it in this way. You also yourself need to be a person that is mature as well. Because even if we say judge, if you are not a mature believer, you judge wrongly as well. So you need, number one, for yourself to be filled with the Word of God, to know what the Word of God is saying. And another way to judge the will of God, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's just quickly go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a portion where I think Apostle Paul is talking about the order of the service, how the Christian service should be conducted. There's a particular way he said that we should have service, and in this regard, he was talking about praying in tongues, and he was talking about the gift of prophecy. If you are there, you can just let me know. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at verses. Let me just open up. Sorry. Let me just quickly open my Bible here. Let's look at verses. Give me a moment. All right. Okay, let's look at verses. Let's start from verse 26, going down. So how do you judge the will of God? So in particular in a church service, right? This is the order Apostle Paul brought. He says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. So the will of God comes. If somebody's going to give you a specific word, there's the will of God. It comes for edification. I'm trying to generalize the question, the will of God, right? So it comes for edification in your life. And then verse 27 says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. So there has to be agreement, particularly for those that function in the gift. There is the speaking of tongues, the general speaking of tongues, devotional speaking of tongues, and then there is the gift of tongues, which comes with the revelation of what God is saying, either to the church or is saying to a particular individual, right? So I'm distinguishing the two there. So if it is now the gift which comes with revelation and a message from God, there should be at least two, at most three, that should speak, one at a time. And someone, one amongst them, must then interpret. Then verse 28, if there's no interpreter, then the speaker should keep quiet in the church. So if it's a gift of tongue that is coming with a message, if there's no interpreter for that particular gift, not the devotional tongues, the gift, then if there's no interpreter to interpret what God is saying, that one should keep quiet. But I like verse 29, says, two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirit of a prophet is subject to the control of the prophet, for God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. So in the order of service, this is what Apostle Paul is saying, we can even judge by the way that an individual brings the message, whether to the individuals in the church or to the church itself. God is not the author of confusion. He does not bring disorder. So the manner of presentation, if it is bringing disorder, already you can judge that this prophecy, either the prophet is not mature, or the person that is the message is not mature, or the message totally is not from God. The message that carries the will of God, or prophetic message that carries the will of God, should be for edification, number one. Number two, should direct you to God, not to me. So if I start to prophesy to you, Brother Barnabas, and my prophecy, he's not revealing God, he's not sending you to God, he's not directing you to the word of God, then that prophetic word or that inspiration, which is surmised to be the will of God, should be put to question, to say, then by which spirit? Remember, the Bible also says, judge every prophecy. So it's not everything that somebody's going to bring to you that you say, okay, yes and amen, and then you take it. Most of the times when God is speaking his will concerning your life, these are things that previously God might have spoken to you directly. You might have not heard God when he spoke with you, but the moment somebody comes and says, let me use somebody else's name here, Sister Delsha. Somebody says, Sister Delsha, this is what God wants to do, A, B, C, D, and E. In as much as you might not necessarily remember when God said it, the moment it's mentioned to you that this is the will of God, this is what I'm seeing God saying into your life, it must resonate with your spirit. Your spirit must agree with it. Right at that very moment, your spirit must have peace. If your spirit is not having peace, you begin to question. If your spirit is not having peace, seek further instruction from God this time. Because mostly when somebody gives you a piece of information, revelation, word of knowledge, saying this is what God is saying, or word of wisdom, this is what God is saying. If you haven't heard it, maybe because you are also an immature Christian, that when God was speaking, you can't identify his voice. Then you judge by the inward witness in you. Is it bringing peace to you? Is it sound to your spirit? And also, what is the word of God saying concerning? So half the time when people give messages pertaining to be the will of God, most of the time people just receive it without going to scripture, without checking their own spirit man. Your own spirit man. Remember the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, I think this is the last scripture, then we'll give to somebody else. Put Romans chapter 8 right there. Let me just open in my Bible. Romans chapter 8. If I don't stop talking, I don't think I will.
Keep going, Apostle.
Romans 8:14. It says, For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba Father. Check what verse 15 says. 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So right there, you can judge a prophetic word. Because remember, the book of 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and for comfort. So there is no fear there. So any message that comes to you to bring fear to you, say, hey, I dreamt you, Mr. Quidini, you know, you were having an accident. And then my prophecy ends there. Then that prophecy, you can say it, you can respond and say, I reject it in the name of Jesus. Because if I had seen an accident, for example, if I see something in the spirit, then God should give me a word. Let's say, for example, I'll use Mr. Quidini. Mr. Quidini, nothing will happen to you. Let me just use you in this example. If God shows me you getting into an accident, it means he has given me the authority to stop it. So the moment I see a vision like that, I just automatically at that moment, I just tell the devil, this accident is not happening in the name of Jesus. I cancel it in Jesus' mighty name. And mind you, I personally would not even bother tell you because I've already dealt with it. There's no need for me telling you for something that is not going to happen because I've canceled it. So that's number one, how you deal with it. Number two, pray that it does not happen. So if somebody gives a message, then it is not exhortation, it is not edification, it is not comfort, it is bringing fear. That is not the will of God, because we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember, Apostle Paul says it to Timothy, you have not received the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. So whatever message saying this is the will of God concerning you, brother, concerning you, sister, that brings fear, that message is not of God. It is not the will of God. God does not operate in bringing fear in his children. Now, there's a difference between the fear of the Lord and then fear. So it says, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. Verse 16. As we conclude, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So this is a bit generic to say only that we are the children of God. But he bears witness with our spirit, not only that we are the children of God, with everything that God, if God is your father, everything that your father God has to say to you, his spirit in you bears witness with your spirit that this is what God is saying to you. So you cannot just, I cannot just come to you and say, this is what God is saying. There need to be a resolution of what I am saying with your spirit. You need to, if God hasn't revealed that to you, most of the time when people receive prophetic words, these are things that they've already, God has spoken to them already. Very, you know, oftentimes do we see people not knowing whether God has told them to do ABCD. It's only sometimes you might have a picture, but then when God sends someone to tell you and reveal his will, that person then paints the whole picture. So you have a canvas and you have an idea that I'm gonna be A, B, C, D, and E, or I'm gonna be A. Then somebody comes and say, yes, this is what the Lord is saying. So there's A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, A6, A7, A8, until you get to B, to C, to D, or and all the way to Z. And your spirit must bear witness with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit to confirm whether this is the will of God or this is not the will of God. So it's the Word and it's the Spirit. It's your maturity in the Word and your maturity in spiritual things and your fellowship with the Holy Ghost that enables you to know the will of God and what is not the will of God. Over to you, sir.
Powerful. 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 Wow. Does anyone have anything to say? Mr. Kudini, I saw you posting a few verses. Do you mind just talking about them a bit? Where the first one that you posted there, the one from Hebrews.
If I add anything, I think I'd be quoting the powerful teaching you got. But I'll just comment a little bit. Yeah, but also really unpaid to go.
Yeah, I feel like we can end here.
Yeah, me too. He says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. So as Pastor Ruth has said, and what Apostle said, the will of God is in accordance to God's word, which is what that scripture says, everything good for doing his will. So his will, if you want to find out his will, is everything that the word says about us as believers. It also says, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. So God, what pleases God is for us to not conform to the patterns of this world. Remember Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11:6, I think. Without prayer, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So those are some of the few things that pleases God. To walk according to the will, to walk according to his purpose. In other words, to just imitate what Jesus did while he's on earth. That's basically the will of God. Walking and being in his purpose is what his word says. I know we want all these good things in life, but remember the scripture tells us that if you seek his kingdom first, then all the things that we want will always be added. And I also added Jeremiah there, who says, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But you must remember what was Jeremiah's mission. He was a prophet. You understand? So the first thing was for him to follow the will of God or to fulfill his mandate of being a prophet. And there God is already telling him that, I know the plan that I have for you. And he's the same guy that God says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, knowing he had already ordained him to be a prophet, over his people. Then all the other things that Jeremiah might have needed in his life as a human being when he's not
on the mission of being of being a prophet, when you just sit being seated at home, that's when you see God telling you that I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. So prosperity is not only prosperity in the spirit, it's also prosperity in the natural. Everything that you might say, I'm prospering, whether it be it wealth or anything that is materialistic, it's all that comes together when you follow the purpose of God, which is the soul mandate. There's a plus to give you hope and a future. So the future that is bright, that we all want, it all comes together when you follow the purpose of God. But if we try to deviate and conform to the world, is the devil trying to make us forgetful of what God expects of us? And he deviates all the good plans that God would have set for us. And again, just to add the last one, Psalms 119, verse 105, in support of what Apostle and what Pastor Ruth said, that the word of God is his will. This scripture tells us, again, same thing. Your word is the lamp, or your word is a lamp for my feet. Meaning you are in darkness, or you can't see where you are going if you don't have the word. Because it is the lamp that you need. It's like you're walking in darkness. We're exposed to this world, which I might refer as the darkness, because it's the evil one is in control of this world. So it says the word is your lamp to my feet. So if I want to take a step, or if you want to see or look somewhere, I need the word. So the word is the will of God. It's the lamp, the light that will lead us to where we are going. And it says also, a light on my path. So the path has already been drawn up, but if you don't have the word, you might have the path in front of you, but you will not see it. So you need to see it through the word, which is his will. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Wow. That's just amazing. Okay, I just had one question to ask. Can the Holy Spirit instruct you to intercede or to pray for others? I'll pose that question to Delsha. Can the Holy Spirit instruct you to intercede for others or pray for others?
Amen. Yes, the Holy Amen. Spirit can instruct you to pray for others. I'm reminded of that time when Jesus says to Peter, Peter, the enemy wanted I'm forgetting the exact words, to sift you, something like that, but I prayed for you. Which shows Kuti, the Holy Spirit told Jesus what was about to happen to Peter, or he was given insight into what was happening or about to happen to Peter's life that he himself had no idea about. So yes, the Holy Spirit does instruct us to pray for others, even in that setting. I think that's the same time that Jesus said, when you have received strength, also strengthen the others. Or also, I think it says strengthen your brothers. So the Holy Spirit does instruct us to pray for other people. There are other examples in the Word. Even that verse that says that those who are sick, they should be laid hands on by the elders and they'll be fine. Those are instances where another person is being given the task to pray for another person. So yes, the Holy Spirit does instruct us to pray for others. Even in personal life, you can find that there are times where the Holy Spirit has told you to pray for a person, and when you then ask them later how they were at a particular point in time, you realize that, oh, that's why the Holy Spirit was saying I should pray for them, or something like that.
Amen. Amen. Powerful, powerful. I was about to ask, for examples of, times where the Holy Spirit instructed someone, or even in your personal life, to actually intercede or pray for someone. I'll just maybe I'll ask for an example, maybe from Pastor G. Then after, okay, just Pastor G. If you have an example or a testimony per se, where the Holy Spirit asked you to pray for someone, and yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Barnabas. Well, there are many examples that I can give on situations whereby the Holy Spirit instructed me to pray for different things, one thing or the other. Pertaining to some specific situations of my life, and also pertaining to others. One example that I can try to reflect upon is a situation whereby. I just thought of someone. I believe it was just a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Just somebody just came to my mind like an instant, and then I felt the urge to pray, and I found myself praying for that person fervently in other tongues, and I could not stop. Only to talk to the person the other time and just say, you know, it was about 3 a.m. in the morning. So I just spoke to that person, and I just texted the person thereafter around 5 a.m. and he said, I trust you're okay, but I had a strong urge to pray for you, and I was praying for you. And the Holy Spirit just said that a way is being made for you. And the person told me that, you know, recently, for the past 3 weeks, I've been troubled, wondering where my life is going and how are things going to work out, because the person is somewhere overseas and in a place whereby they don't have access to church, and they are a bit stuck in terms of you know, getting to knowing other people. You know, they aren't many Africans, if I may say. And the person was like, you know, I was a bit stuck and I didn't know what exactly to do pertaining to A, B, C, D, and E. But what you've just said and what you've been praying for is exactly what I was looking for. And I believe now that the Lord is with me in the decision that I was about to take. So it's one of those things that it gets me to understand and to believe that the Holy Spirit truly guides us and instructs us on issues or circumstances whereby He wants us to pray for others. Thank you.
Powerful. I'll ask for one last contribution from Mrs. McCarthy, then we can close the session off.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll just also share, I think one of the instances that I had when the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit was prompting me to pray for someone. So I was sleeping, and it was in the middle of the night, and then I just heard like an audible voice saying to me, Nyasha. And then from then I just when I woke up to do my prayers, I kept feeling that I have to pray for Nyasha. And then I know many Nyashas, but then there is this Nyasha that came into my mind, and then I kept praying for her. And then when I woke up, I was like, I told my husband that this is what happened, and I don't know what was happening. And then he just said, pray about it. And then I continued praying about it. And then later on, I just said that let me talk to the Nyasha that I was thinking about. And then when I talked to her, she was like, pray for me. And then I just continued praying for her. And I think it was the next day when she later sent me a message that, you know what, I was planning on going to Zimbabwe, and I've been having these weird dreams, and people have been dreaming about me maybe getting into accidents and whatever. So I'm really confused. So maybe I feel maybe that's why you got that message to pray for me, because I was really in need of prayer. So I just felt maybe the Holy Spirit was prompting me to intercede on her behalf, since she was also going through stuff. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Powerful, powerful. Do we have any other contributions from the floor before we close off the session? Mr. Quidini, go for it.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas. I didn't want to say it, but I thought of saying it's it was in 2018. I was going home. I've told Apostle and Pastor Saji this before. I was going home and I was just seated in Park Station. It was very cold in March, having coffee, and there were three ladies that came and sat next to me, before a fourth person joined, who was a guy. And actually, before they arrived, I had bought coffee. And when I bought coffee, when I approached those people that you pay at the till, I said to her, there's a lady who works here that has got a problem with her right leg. It's like she's got a wound that hasn't healed in so many years. Where is she? Then she says she's at the back. She's actually the one that has made this tea that I've just given you. How do you know her? And I don't know her. Can you call her? Then she was called, and she came. She said, you're looking for me? And I said, yes. I told her the same story. Got a leg. I know you're wearing your trousers right now, but am I lying that you've got a wound? She says, yes, I've got a wound. I said, did you tell me? He said, no. I said, I want to pray for you. And then I prayed for her, that her wound be healed. I think I went home for about a week. When I came back, she said, her wound had disappeared, because I came back through Joburg again. And while I was praying for her, the Holy Spirit just told me something profound about this lady that I realized that's the time that I actually realized that the Holy Spirit actually speaks to us, because I even told her certain things which she was shocked. I even told her that there's a man that you've been staying with, but he is not your husband. That man is married. She said yes. And I said, can you also confirm that you've got a son who's about 3 years old? She said yes. I don't know where these things were coming from. I was just saying it to her. I said, if you want your life to turn around, because God wants to use you and He wants to transform your life, you need to leave this man. Then she just started crying. Then I left. I said, okay, it is well. She was actually in the Faith Chronicles group for some time, but I think early this year or late last year, she left. She was there for about 2 years. Then I went and sat down and had my coffee. And then these three ladies came. They sat right next to me on the table. They said, how are you? Said, I'm all right. I was just having my coffee. Then this lady that greeted me, I said to her, are you not from the Eastern Cape? She said, yes. She started smiling. Have we met before? I said, no. I said, do you have a ministry? She said, yes. My husband and I have got a ministry, but I said, no, don't tell me anything. I said, you've been having problems. Your ministry has not been growing. But actually you've been praying about it. I'm declaring that the Holy Spirit is taking your message. So, hey, she started crying again. Then there was another lady. I think she was a sister, if I'm right. I told her you're having problems with your husband. Your family is shaky. She said yes, and we prayed again. Then that's when the other guy joined. I said then when the other guy joined now, when he sat down, he arrived when we were talking about this issue. I said to him, "I'm coming to you, my brother." And he was listening. I said, "You love God. You've been actually going around Southern Africa. You've been to Botswana. Now, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Zambia." I said, "God wants to use you. Let's pray." And we prayed. Hey, I've never experienced the Holy Spirit to such an extent. When I came back, I even told Apostle. I think a year or some months later, I even told Pastor G. So this is not only about people that we know. Here I had an experience of people that I had never met. I met them on that day, but the Holy Spirit had so much word of knowledge for these people. And that I think the Holy Spirit was trying to show me something there, that he surely talks to us all the time, but most of the time we are not listening. That's my contribution. Mm.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Do you have any more contributions?
I don't want to contribute per se, but I just want to say to everybody here, maybe some might not say the experiences, but they do have them. But I just want to say to Mrs. Makasi, to Evangelist Kudini, Mr. Kudini, and then to everybody else. You know, sometimes it happens like that. It's spontaneous. You don't plan it. It just happens. The Holy Spirit just begins to move. But I want you to get to the next level where you are intentional about it. So the first time the Holy Spirit is showing you there's a place here where we can fellowship together like this, it's an invitation to that place. What he was simply doing is inviting you to a place where he can use you in that dimension. So you can't wait now for it to happen again. That's why most people say, "Well, it happened once, it happened twice. Hey, I don't know what's going on these days." Now you have to be intentional. Make it your intent that I want this to be happening to me always.
Amen.
Yes, Holy Spirit, give me people's names. Give me, wherever I am going, give me people to pray for who are in trouble that I can pray for, whether they are strangers, people you know. You just surrender, you yield, and you are intentional that it happens.
Amen.
As you're going to work, Mr. Kudin, you challenge yourself. Mrs. Marcus, you challenge yourself that God today give me someone to speak into their life. And you start to see it will happen on a regular, because you accepted the invitation and you are now intentional about it. You are no longer just, "Well, when it happens, it happens." All right.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if anyone else has something to say. Amen. Okay, I will just invite everyone to unmute and pray. Then I will just ask Pastor Ruth to conclude, you know, in prayer as we pray. We can all unmute and just pray and be intentional about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, about receiving a word from Him right this instant. Amen. Resu koje de mengege de bayadaya kaya sako tobe agaja de berere. Resu de menge abaya kaya sate kea de abaya zo goja de brede kea kaya sate mengege de be. Resu koje agada bayadi. Reko konge adia soke adaba ya soto koja de bedekere. Resu gogo de beadia sate kende kea mandere resu do koja de ada. Raka ya manga gada bayadi yeso kujedeke yezo kugudepe ya kaya manga gada ya zo kujedebe
Rekokoya mangrege de Yezo Gogode Yakaya Sate Mende Yazaga Gada Bayadi Jegoro Koya Mangrege de Giasaka Gada Bayadi Yazoku Shede Beyakayada Yakaya de Yazoku Shede Gede Gede. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the testimonies. Ayakata Yada Rezo Zozobe Jegede Bayada Yasaka Gade Rengo Gude Jaga Gada Bayadi Reko Sete Giade Yada Rado Jagede Yamanga Gada Bayade Oza Gagade Be. That you may be sensitive to your word, sensitive to your will, Lord Jesus. Akaya de Yasoko Jedebe Rezo Godo Gode Menge Gedebe Yada Jaga Gada Bayade Resoko Yati Yedeke Yamanga Gada Yade Resoko Shade Kedekere Yekede Yeza Gada Yade Manga daya godo soko tia dia saka jade kiri rezo goge anandi ya manga dia saka kiri rezo gusha da baya kati menge kede we rezo gusha de kede kede kiri rose kede kia manga kade ya ba. Thank you Lord Jesus, thank you Lord Jesus. Sanga gade bede rezo gusha kede ke vea kararara soko jade ba rande kede ke baya kaya saka kede rezo gusha da mandi ya saka kade ba. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ayaka de yede yazogu jege gede mengre gede yakaya kayadi yasati abayadi jego gode veada yasaka kada mandiri reko jege gede yedo zodoko. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We worship you, we glorify your name. We pray that even as we have heard today your word and you speaking to us, that Holy Spirit, you are the intercessor. We pray and we yield our hearts, our lives unto you, that you would begin to speak through us, that we may be open to intercede even to those places where we go, that God, you will cause us to intercede for particular people, and that their lives will be changed, will be transformed, will be renewed by your work in our lives. Causes Holy Spirit even to begin to intercede for our churches, to intercede for the body of Christ, that great and mighty church may be seen in the mighty name of Jesus. Causes to begin to intercede for souls, that souls may be won for the kingdom of God, so that we begin to plant the hell and to populate heaven and intercede. Pray for souls, that young people souls may be one, that children souls may be one, that women may be one, that grandparents, that uncles, aunties, their souls may be one for the kingdom of God. Father, we pray tonight that each and everyone continue to minister to them, that begin to activate the intercessory power of the Holy Spirit, that it may be activated in them, that they may not only wait for the Sunday service, but that it may be inherent in them, and that God, you may use wherever they go, that they become powerhouse intercessors, as you, Holy Spirit, will speak in the mighty name of Jesus. At their workplaces, in the taxis, and the taxifiers, in the Uber, wherever they are, in the buses, in the trains, Holy Spirit, begin to work intercessory ministry. Let it begin to work in us. In the name of Jesus, we are praying today in Jesus' mighty name. In the shop, as we are buying bread, as we are in the shop doing grocery, may the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit begin to be evident in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for such a word that you have taught us, that we are beginning even to walk in the will of God, and we will manifest in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, we worship you, and we glorify your name, that our lives will never be the same as we begin to exercise, as we begin to worship with the intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our families, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you, and we worship you, and we glorify you tonight. As we go on to our different activities tonight, we speak the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And that ministering angels are with us. We are protected. We are kept of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the saints say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining. Next week, Mrs. Rachel will be leading us. Let's meet next week. Take care and have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.